T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special Capaccio for you, right?
Jeez. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, Carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a Carpaccio.
They like Capaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a Capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Hey, before we get to Sal, quick reminder that Sal gives you the inside scoop, takes you behind the scenes through training camp. Hopefully you've been going to the WGR Facebook page to watch Sal from camp. Behind the scenes at training camp is presented by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? That is also who brings us this segment with Sal. His recap from yesterday's practice online, WGR550.com. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. Happy Wednesday to you, sir.
You too. Good morning, guys.
I was just talking about the big brawl at Giants training camp. What is the biggest training camp fight you recall seeing? It's usually nothing that gets, I mean, to the point, do you know what happened with the Giants camp? Like where everybody got involved and Joe Judge has them running goal line to goal line? I've never seen that.
I haven't seen video.
Yeah, I haven't seen video.
I don't know if there's any out there of it.
I mean, I've seen, they
probably don't want there.
But they have to. I feel like they have to send that video out for all.
So obviously, you're asking me which one. Anything I've seen live?
Yeah,
right? Because we've all seen the ones where the two teams get together for
all the scrimmages, right? Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I would tell you there was one early on. There was one early on when I was covering the team for WGR, and I want to say maybe it was Chan or Marone who was coaching, and there was one near the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
It got really good. And there were a bunch of players, but it was right in front of everybody. And that was what kind of stood out a little bit about it, too, because we were just right up on top of it. And who was the fullback they had then? Not Sam Gash. Who was the guy? Who's the fullback they had? Felton. Like, Felton might have been involved.
Oh, Damon Felton?
I don't remember for sure.
Jerome Felton.
Oh, why am I thinking? I'm thinking Damon Shelton, not Jerome Felton.
And I
don't
even want to say Jerome Felton was involved, but I remember, there was a fullback involved, a linebacker. Mm-hmm. It was a goal line situation. And, Eric Wood was probably in there somewhere, so I could ask him about it. But it wasn't even something that – it wasn't even so bad that I'm recalling it easily.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I've never seen one that, oh, my God, that was insane.
Me neither.
But I would say that happened. And then – and I think the coaches got, pretty upset. And there was some they had to bring the team together for it afterwards and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, right. You typically see, okay, a couple guys blow their gasket. They go at each other. And maybe the rest of the guys that are on the field on that rep – we'll join in. Well, we'll just kind of congregate, right? But I don't know that I've never seen benches clear in a training camp brawl. And, of course, I mean, I'm having some fun with it because I think it's hilarious. Of course, you don't want the starting quarterback at the bottom of the pile.
Of course. And, I mean, that's part of the reason why Joe Judge got upset.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
There's a lot of layers to what he's getting upset about. He might be upset because everybody's getting involved or because you're wasting training camp time. But obviously, the quarterback being at the bottom of the pile just makes everything a lot worse, and that's why he's getting upset. So, no, you don't generally see anything like that. Generally, those things are one-on-one, and then it might spill over into a couple other guys who are protecting their teammates who had some beef going on over the last couple of plays. But, that's it. And, as I've always said, coaches don't love it, but they understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, sometimes you need a little bit of physicality there, and it's like, okay, let's get on with things. You don't want those things to linger. But in a situation like Joe Judge had yesterday, I could understand why he'd be upset. Now, that said, I will tell you, after the Kelvin Benjamin article, take it with a grain of salt, whatever, after other people have come out and talked about Joe Judge, I would say that he's also probably, maybe a guy that is going to probably react a little bit differently and probably people aren't going to like the way he reacts a little bit more, given that situation, than other coaches.
Sal with us. If you got a Bills question, call us now, and he'll take care of it. 803-0550. You can talk to him about camp. Okay, that the discussion about the brawl can somewhat segue into this question I have for you. Yesterday was the first padded practice at training camp for the Bills, and I wanted to ask you about something that came up during Sean McDermott's press conference, and he talked about building toughness in a team. You don't do it in November. This is the time of the year you do it. And I guess, Sal, my question would be, how do you go about striking a balance that you want intensity, you want some physicality, you want to build toughness in your team, but also, of course, you have to be very careful to not get anybody injured. So how do they go and strike that balance when they put the pads on and get a little bit more physical at camp?
It's hard. It's a tough balance. I think you could probably ask, you know, 1,000 different football coaches at all different levels and get a lot and 1,000 different answers on that and how you do it. I think that's part of the game that you have to play as a coach. You have to balance that out. I think part of it is knowing your team, knowing your players, knowing what each one needs. You might have a team that's a little more, I guess, you know, you think that they need more physicality. Maybe they're not the most physical group, and you're going to have to get after it at practice a little bit more. You're going to have to kind of, you know, let them know, like, hey, you're out here. This is a tough sport. And, you know, even though that, you know, we're out here practicing, we need to get after it because we got to get ready for that. You may have a team that you have to dial it back sometimes, right? I mean, you know, you got a bunch of guys that just want to get after it, and you got to say, hey, you know, this is not the time and place. Like, we got to make sure we look out for one another as well. I think Sean McDermott, now that in his fifth year, he has a really good handle of his group. They've also been there a long time. I think one of the things the Bills do, they've been doing this pretty much, I think, since McDermott's got there. But it's very noticeable if you're out there. They always have music playing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of energy going around. I think that if you replace the word energy with intensity sometimes, it can really help, too. You don't have to make it super intense as long as you're making it energetic. And guys are flying around, and they're understanding that you have to go. The one thing Sean said, every coach will tell you this, Howard, and Nate knows this, since you're a little kid, you're told, if two people are going at different speeds, someone's getting hurt.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Everybody's got to go at the same speed. And I think that's the reason, and that's the balance you're talking about here, which is you got to have everybody, if you're super energetic and you know you can fly to where you're going, but that doesn't mean that you have to give the biggest physical shot to someone. You know, I mean, you fly to where you're going, you get there in a hurry, and then boom, you touch the guy up or you up thud, as we've talked about, mm-hmm. and things like that. That's the kind of practice I think they want.
So what did you see yesterday? What did you notice differently with the first padded practice of camp?
It was a lot more handsy from the defensive backs, especially mm-hmm. in the one-on-one drills. I think they realized, okay, look, the offense has gotten the better of us. We got pads on here. You know, I can get in, I can press a little more. I can get in this guy's face. This is one-on-one drills, right, where I can grab a little bit. Now, I would tell you, there was a point where I looked at our buddy Matt Perino and I said, boy, when the officials are out here, I don't know if they're going to get away with some of this stuff. Like, they were grabbing, right? Mm-hmm. And they were pressing. But that might have been on purpose. They might have been told. I don't know, right? Maybe the coaches have said, hey, today we're going to get physical. I want you to get physical with these guys. Or even the offensive coaches wanted it for some reason. You know, you want to make sure in the first day, maybe that the wide receivers are understanding they're not going to get away with anything. So I thought that was pretty noticeable yesterday that, you know, the defensive backs were starting to get physical. Then when they went to the one-on-one, the defense definitely... I would say the defense won more than the offense did yesterday, and I think they needed that after the day the offense had, but it probably was also a bit of an attitude of, hey, you know what, you guys won pretty well a couple of days ago, but now the pads are on, so let's mm-hmm. see here.
Hey, before we get any further, I forgot, Feliciano didn't practice any yesterday, right? And if that is right, any word on what's going on?
No, he basically rested a shoulder, so, you know, okay. He's... You know, we'll see. He was out there. He was walking around. He just didn't practice. Forrest Lamp was back on the practice field, which is good. Seems like they're getting really banged up or have issues, I should say, with participation right now on the offensive line because Dawkins, Butker, Feliciano got banged up, but then Forrest Lamp was, but he came back. Marquell Harrell got injured yesterday. We'll see his status tomorrow. So, you know, that's five offensive linemen right there who've kind of been in and out, so to speak.
Sal, we've talked quite a bit before camp and since camp started with you about the defensive line, and I think in part because the Bills clearly put an emphasis on pass rush, improving pass rush in the offseason, and Starr coming back and all that. So I want to ask you a little bit about, we've talked to you about, hey, what are you seeing from Rousseau? What are you seeing from Basham specifically? Mario Addison, I only saw clips of this. You were there, was raving about those two young guys, and I believe Epinesa as well. So I guess, first off, what do you think of what Addison had to say about those young guys? And then I'll follow up with an update on the young guys.
Well, you know, yeah, Mario, he's been in this league a while, and he's older. And, you know, I think he's seen it all, right? He's seen guys come into this league as first and second round picks who think they're owed something. And, you know, they're not, and they never last. He's seen guys come in this league as undrafted free agents who work their tails off and either make the team or become really good players or, you know, no matter what, they just don't have enough talent. What he's seen the spectrum, and I think from what I got from out of him is, you know, these guys have come into work. You know, they understand. They're professional already. They're working their tails off. The way I got it from Mario was, hey, look, I'm going to help all these guys. I'm not going to help guys who aren't like that. You know, I know we're out here. They're trying to take my job essentially. But how can you not help a teammate who's trying to get better, who works like that, and he's willing to be coached, right? I mean, I think that's really the message he was sending, and that was really cool. It kind of made me think that Mario might be a coach someday. Hmm. I think that's the way a coach mentality has to be. Like, if you're not willing to work with me, how can I coach you?
Right.
But I think Mario was making the point of, if I kind of read into how he was speaking about these guys and raving about them, which is these young guys, they really work. And yeah, we might be out here competing, but I love working with them because they're professional already at what they do, and they're willing to do everything it takes to go out here and be great and help this team.
I guess I can tie, not to specifically say how has Russo looked, because I think I've asked you that before, but I'll tie that in, I think I can, to a point you made in your recap yesterday, because Russo contributes to the fact that they're longer on the defensive line, and you specifically wrote in your recap about how defensive length is now standing out at practice, or has been standing out at practice.
Yeah, one of the reasons F.A. Obada, I thought he stood out yesterday. And look, you know, I've been an F.A. Obada guy since they signed him. Mm-hmm. I the minute they signed him and I looked at him and said, man, he's going to bring something to this defensive line. He's raw, but he's got all these traits the Bills love.
That's another guy Addison. Sorry, that's another guy Addison was praising yesterday, right? Because yeah. He knew him in Carolina.
And I asked him about him because he had played with him in Carolina, and that's why he talked about him as well. And again, another guy he said, he kept using the word coachable. He's coachable. You know, this is... Let's go back to it, guys. These are the kind of players the Bills want. There's no accident these guys are like this, right? I mean, they go through the process of interviewing them, getting to know them. That is the culture of the locker room, the organization. It's the kind of person, it's the Bills' DNA that they talk about. These are the kind of players they want to bring into the organization. I think F.A. Obada checks all those boxes. He's got on the field, he's got all the physical traits. He's long, he's athletic, he's very versatile. He can play inside, he can play outside. And then off the field, he wants to learn. He knows that, you know, I've only been playing this game a short time. I gotta be coachable. I gotta know my role. All of those things are really baked in. So what I saw yesterday was on the field, obviously. I'm not with him off the field, but his length is really showing up.
Yep.
And no matter where he is, like he can be a problem for, you know, defenders to deal with him because A, even if he doesn't beat you, he's gonna get his hands up. He's gonna move his arms around. He's gonna, you know, get into a passing window. There was one play. This is a really, like, these are the subtle things that I'll try to describe the best way I can that make a difference when it comes to the length. There was one play. F.A. Obada got around like the arc around the outside, and the tackle did a really nice job to keep him to the outside. But F.A.'s length, as he reached for Josh, he forced Josh up into the pocket, and Josh had to do like a shovel pass. Like, Josh couldn't stand there and fire back, not because F.A. Obada was bearing down on him, but his hand was getting close to grabbing him.
Yeah.
So Josh literally had to step up and just do a flick pass and a shovel pass. And those are the little kind of subtle nuances that length can impact.
But I think it was Russo, right, that Addison was talking about, like offensive linemen don't even get out of their stance, and already Russo's length is so long that he's punching the guy in the pads. He's already got, you know, an advantage before the offensive lineman even gets up out of his position, you know, out of his stance, which I thought was really interesting to talk about. On the defensive line, let me ask you about one other guy, A.J. Epenesa, Sal, because it was a rough year for him. He wasn't a first-round pick last year, but he was the Bills' first pick, and it was a tough year for him, not a normal season for anybody, his weight issues, all this different stuff. What's fair to what do you think A.J. Epenesa can bring in what might be a greater role this season? What's fair to expect from him? There's been so much talk about Russo and Basham. What about what Epenesa can do this year?
Well, first of all, let's start with the player and what I've seen from him. You know, so to a lesser degree, he is also long. Mm-hmm. He's got that body, I think, that, you know, that they want to have. He's also long. He's not long like Russo or long like Obada, but he's long. He's not quite the athlete those guys are. But what I really like is he's smart. He's a tactician. Uses his hands really well. I think, to me, he knows where to put his hands. He knows how to use his leverage. You know, this is a guy, I think, and he's probably going to play in this league a while. I think he is. I don't know what his ceiling is necessarily. Might not be as high as a guy like Greg Rousseau, but I'm liking him now a lot more than I did last year. And I thought last year he started to flash as the season went on. Mm-hmm. But I like what I see from him. You know, but the problem is he's caught up in this numbers game where this group, but I don't know how they're going to do it, Howard. Hmm. What might, I'm not going to say save him. Like, I'm not saying he's going to not make the team.
Yeah.
But what might really impact how they use him in personnel is the flexibility that everyone else has and where they want to put guys. Right? I mean, when you look at the Bills' defensive end and defensive tackles, the D-line. So I have this chart, as you know, and I keep it right up on my my pinned tweet on Twitter, and it has everything right there. I want to caution everybody against keeping – now, I have to list them as defensive ends and defensive tackles. But for the most part, they are kind of interchangeable, a lot of these guys, right? So you have to caution yourself against saying, oh, look at the defensive ends. Which one are they going to keep? Which ones? Look at the defensive tackles. Which ones are they going to keep?
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember that they can kind of cross over a few of these guys. So that may really impact, A, who they keep, and B, how they use everybody in the end.
We're with Sal here on the Wester Hotline. I want to backtrack. Got a few minutes left with Sal. 803-0550 if you got a question on the Bills. I want to backtrack because when Brian Daboll met with the media, I think it was Wednesday or Monday. Doesn't matter anyway. And I believe it was your question. Something came up about offensive.
It probably is. I mean, I ask all the best questions. All the media that are listening right now, you guys, like, I ask the best questions. So,
yeah, they're, you know, they're like, what the hell is Sal asking about now? No, but I think I'm pretty sure it was your question. But it had something to do about
I'm having fun, by the way. People will think I'm serious. We all have fun with each other. So
I'm still waiting for the media brawl. I'm curious. There was something about an offensive line blocking rule change this year.
Do we need
to know about this? Is this
yes, you do.
Is this something where they'll
it's
play
not
a game
an
of like
line...
what the hell did they do? What's going on? You know, like one of those things.
It's not just an offensive line blocking rule. It's an NFL blocking rule.
Ah, okay.
But the offensive line is very impacted. So basically, you've seen this happen many times, Howard, where there's a run to the outside. Mm-hmm. And let's just use the offensive lineman here, for example.
Yeah,
a guy pulls,
right?
A guard pulls or a tackle pulls. There's a run to the outside. And you see, like, Deion Dawkins having to block a corner.
Mm-hmm.
So because Deion Dawkins, like, he isn't – the corner can move on him. He's going to be able to kind of be shifty. So how does Deion block him? He goes low. He
goes
cuts
down
him,
on
right?
him.
That's what
right.
he does. He just
That's
runs
right.
at him. You cannot do that anymore. Huh. It has to initiate from the top.
Really?
The block has to initiate above the waist.
Challenging for these big offensive linemen.
Very challenging. Very. So, and by the way, and from my understanding of the rule, this goes for everyone, like even wide receivers who do that. Hmm. Now, wide receivers in that situation, what it's called, a lot of times what you'll do is you'll hear the words stalk block, okay? A stalk block in football is a wide receiver stalking, if you will, the corner. You're kind of shadowing and you're keeping them at length with your arms, right? You're keeping them out. You're stalking them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a stalk block. The other way to block a corner for a receiver is to do that. It's to kind of go low, to cut them as they're coming in. It is very challenging for offenses now to not do that. And by the way, it is a very punitive 15-yard penalty.
I was going to ask you what the flag is, right?
So now... And Brian was great on this. I love Brian Daboll's answer on this. And I tweeted about it, and people can go look at his answer. And he's right. And he makes the point of an offensive lineman now who's coming out to block a corner, he can't go low. He's got a mirror. He's got to shadow him.
How is he
supposed to? That corner is shifty.
Yeah, I don't. You know what? I'm going to guess this is about safety and injuries.
Yes,
but see, that's the thing, though. A wide receiver can adjust. Even a big tight end can adjust. And I'm asking a 300-plus-pound offensive lineman who is pulling, gets to the edge to now go after a 6-foot defensive back who weighs, I don't know, 200-whatever pounds and have to make sure you have to go target or start up high. I mean, that's really hard to ask these guys to do.
Yes, it is. And the question I...
You'd still run to the
Brian.
Outside, right? You can't change, and you don't change your playbook and go, well, we're just going to pull, we're going to have less pulling guard plays. I mean, you can't not run out there.
Right. And part of it is like the reteaching aspect of it.
How, yeah, these guys have did this right. That's lives. Right. It's natural reaction for them to do that. Right.
Right. So now you got Chad Hall, the wide receivers coach. You have Bobby Johnson, the offensive line coach. Like, they have to teach everything kind of differently now.
Hmm.
You know, and that's part of the challenge here of now everybody's in the same boat, right? It's not just the Bills. But the point Brian Daboll made, and this goes specifically to the Bills, it's such a space game. When you are spaced out like that, you know, you it's tough because you're always in space and you're running, and that's how you have to block people because you can't just go up to them. As he said, it's like it used to be wad ball. Everybody's just wadded up. Yeah, when you're wadded up like that and everybody's just all together, it's easier to do that, right? It's easier to just block, you know, up high.
Yeah.
Everybody's just right there. But now when you're in space and you're chasing somebody and they're coming in. Now, here's a point to make, though. This is really interesting, and Brian Daboll brought this up, and I didn't think about it, but it's a great point. The defense can't do this either. And you say, well, what do you mean? How could the defense even do this?
Yeah.
So let's say you're running a play and you're pulling one of your linemen. Well, the lineman is supposed to get out to the corner. Well, the defense is taught. Now, I'm a linebacker, let's say, Howard, and I see the lineman coming out to attack my corner.
Mm-hmm.
I go low on the offensive lineman to prevent him from getting there. I can't do that anymore.
Okay. So it works both ways, right?
That's right.
That seems fair.
So it's going to be really interesting how this is called, especially in the preseason. And I don't know, some people have sent me like, what about this one? What about this one? There's going to be some challenges for officials because like someone sent me one on an Isaiah McKenzie run. Well, a little pitch pass run against Tennessee last year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe two years ago. Remember that when he came around, it was two years ago.
No, actually, this was going to get me to my next question. So go ahead.
Yeah, Dawson Knox had a great block, and someone said, is this the example of this? And I got to be honest, I watched it over and over. I think Dawson actually did start high, but really slightly started high. And that's the challenge that the officials are going to have. Like, did he actually go high or did he start low?
So this counts. This isn't just running back. This is pitch pass. This is the touch pass, the jet sweeps. Is it screens? Is it swing passes?
Don't think about play. The new rule basically is anything that's outside the
okay,
box,
it's not how you got. It's not how you got out there. No. It's just that you're out there.
No.
All right.
It's anybody who's out there, outside right. the tight end box.
Got it. All right. Reverse is anything. Right. The play is inconsequential. Yep. It's just where you are on the field.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that. Hey, before I let you go, I want to again bring up something I don't think we asked you about the other day. We have talked about running backs. We've asked you about Matt Breida and Singletary and Moss and the competition, and they may end up keeping all three since they kept three last year with T.J. Yeldon. In one of your articles, I forget which one it was, Sal, but it was your position breakdown, right? And you were doing it was one question about each position, right? At running back, you did say, your question was, would Singletary or Moss be expendable? What are the odds that happens?
I don't know if I asked it like that. I think I was more of, can Breida kind of replace, can he kind of pass them on the roster?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
right.
see.
Right.
Yeah, but I know where you're going with it, and I get it. I want to be careful because I just don't think that they're going to like move on from one of them. I think
and they don't
three.
Need to. I mean, it's really not a roster problem. Again, they kept... Well, you want to throw in Tywan Jones. They had four backs last year, right?
Yeah, but they only activated three, Howard, and Tywan was one of them.
But you could keep Breida, Moss, and
That's
Singletary
right.
on
yes.
your 53 or
correct.
Whatever. And you just
and
don't one of them doesn't get activated. This is your running back by game plan approach.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, yeah. Running back by game plan. So
yeah.
Ooh, yeah,
do I owe you money? Is this like Michael Buffer?
Well,
do I owe you a royalty right now?
No, but not right now. But if you profit off it, you do, pal.
Ooh, I got to watch out.
So, and listen, I just think that from what I've seen from Matt Breida, he offers an element that makes me say, do they use him more than they would use a Singletary or Moss? And I think the answer to that question is yes, but not every day, not every game. You know what I mean? But that doesn't automatically lead to the other guy is gone. The Buffalo Bills, to me, they're no longer a team that says, well, this guy earned a spot over this guy, so let's trade or get rid of one guy. I think they want to be as good as they can, two deep and three deep.
Mm-hmm.
So they would, to me, sacrifice, I guess, even a mid or late round pick for a guy to make sure that they're buttoned up at a position, if you will.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
Right. I think it's a little bit like the Trubisky discussion.
Years ago, that wouldn't be the case.
I think it's like That's people are saying, hey, trade Trubisky to the Colts. They're desperate. Let's get a fourth round pick, conditional, whatever. Why make a trade for a mid-round pick when you might actually get a compensatory pick for him anyway, when you have a better backup quarterback in play than you did before?
And the compensatory part of it is something people really don't think enough about. But you're right. If Mitch Trubisky next year signs with another team, the Bills are looking at a possible compensatory pick. Now, obviously, there's more of a formula there. But that's exactly right what you said. Gone are the days of the Bills saying, well, we're not going to use this guy, so let's try and trade him. I think it's more, we're not going to use this guy, but we might need him because we're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that changes your approach. Absolutely, yeah. Okay, hey, enjoy your day off. And, you know, we'll even though they're off, we're probably still bugging you on the show tomorrow, just so you know.
No problem, I'll be here.
Thank you, Sal.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.